Good morning.
Good morning.
So Tim and I want to make sure that we are completely upfront and forthright with everybody. And we want to make sure that everybody was aware that we had our first positive test for somebody here at the building over the weekend, last weekend. I know we sent text out to everybody, but in the event that some of you may not have gotten the text, we wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of it. For those that are not aware, just one of the kids that comes to church here was here with a runny nose. He went to school Monday. School sent him home and asked him to go get tested, and it was Thursday when they got back the confirmation that he had tested positive. Okay, so once that happened, Tim and I discussed it and kind of reached out to the family just to make sure, one, if there was anything that we could do to assist the family, but then also just to kind of try to get some details of what happened while they were here. And we believe that the exposure is going to be very, very, very limited. They got here right before services started. They left immediately after services. They had only talked to just a couple of people, and we reached out directly to them to let them know of the direct exposure. We looked. There was nobody that was sitting immediately in front of them or behind them or beside them. So what we think and what we'd like to hope is that our plan of trying to alternate the pews and have people sit on different sides actually helped out in a case like that. Okay, so thank everybody for doing that. Given that it was kid-related, we also want to make sure that none of the other kids were playing together, and it does not appear that they were. So it looks like, again, that the risk of anything spreading is going to be minimal. But, you know, we've heard the stories, right? We've heard that multiple people in a congregation, one has it, and then all of a sudden multiple people end up with it, and that's something we want to try to avoid. We continue to clean and sanitize the building every week, but after hearing news, Amy did come back up here in the area that they were at. Sprayed that area down real well to try to sanitize it the best we can, and then we did our normal cleaning and sanitizing that we always do. So just a couple reminders. We're all starting to get a little comfortable with this, right? We've been coming back now for multiple weeks, and I'm seeing more hugging and handshaking and just people being around each other and kind of hanging out in the building. Let's just be mindful that there is still a pandemic going on, okay? We all need to be aware of it. We all need to do those things that we've talked about doing, such as spacing out in here, such as making sure that we stay physically distanced from everybody. We've not mandated masks. We do ask that everybody wear a mask, especially when you're coming in and out of the building. We ask that when you come in, go straight to your seats. When you leave, at least go to where you're outside. And we know weather's going to be getting cool here very quickly, right? So we know that socializing is a very important part of us coming together, being around our brethren, being able to share times with each other, and we just want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can. The biggest thing that I would ask is if you or anybody in your family has any symptoms whatsoever, please just stay home that day. Let's not take the risk, right? There's no sense in taking the risk. We provide not only the electronic live version of our worship service, but we also record our worship service, so you can go back and listen to that during the week if you can't be immediately available to do it live. But let's just be aware of that and cognizant of that. Even though you don't believe that it may be virus related, you don't know. In this case, they didn't know. It was just a runny nose. Thought it was allergies. Okay, so everybody just be aware of that. So again, we just want to be forthright, and once we find out something, we'll let everybody know. And hope you appreciate giving me a few minutes of your time this morning. Tim?
All right, again, and I'd like to echo what Kevin said. We just appreciate everybody's cooperation. We're just trying to keep everybody safe and just trying to look out for everybody so we can continue to keep being able to be here and to be able to worship God. So with all that being said, welcome, everybody. I'm so glad to see you all here today. I'd just like to open up. There we go. Psalm 96, starting at verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So we are here today to be able to praise God in spirit and in truth, to be able to worship him, and to share in this time with one another, to lift our voice in praise, and to study from God's word. We're always mindful of all of our loved ones that need prayers, all those that are dealing with health issues, whatever they may be. We will keep them in our prayers, and I think we've had some answered prayers this week on successful procedures and surgeries and things like that. So we can praise God for that as well. So if you would, bow with me for a word of prayer as we get started in worship. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day that you blessed us with. We're thankful for this time to be here this morning, that we can praise you in spirit and in truth, dear Lord. We're mindful of our loved ones that aren't able to be with us, whether they are just not able to get out physically, or if their health does not permit them to get out, if they're recovering from surgery, or whatever it is, dear Lord, please be with them and give them strength. We miss them, and give them encouragement, and we hope to see them again real soon, dear Lord. But please be with all of our loved ones that are dealing with illnesses, whether it be physical or spiritual, dear Lord, and give them strength and encouragement. We're thankful for our loved ones that have had successful procedures and surgeries and tests this week. Please continue to be with those families and give them strength as they continue to recover, and look forward to good health in the future, dear Lord. As we come to you today, help us to focus our minds with the songs that we sing and the words that we'll hear from your word, dear Lord. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So, here, this past week was the first day of fall. And if you listen to my talk on Wednesday, I talked a little bit about that. But what it reminds me is, I can't believe it's already fall. It just seems like this year's just kind of flying by. Now, it might be totally different to you, but to me it just seems like time flies is what it reminds me of. And at least the older I get, the more it seems that time does fly. So things are moving along pretty quick. We're already at fall. Next thing you know, well, depends on what store you go to. There's already Christmas stuff out, so watch out. It's like 3 months to go. Watch out. The Christmas countdown timer's already on. Watch out. It's not even Halloween yet. It's not even October yet. But regardless, time does fly, and it does seem to move by. And we need to be mindful, though, not to let time slip past us. Sometimes we think we have all the time in the world, and we don't take the time to do the things that we need to be doing and focus on what we need to be focused on. So some of the songs we're going to be singing this morning kind of relate to some of the aspects of time and making sure we're making the most of our time. In Ephesians 5:15-17, we read, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Just some things I read there. You know, we need to make the best use of our time. And if you don't make the best use of your time, kind of says you're foolish there. So don't be foolish. Make the best use of your time. So the songs we're going to be singing today kind of talk about making the best use of our time. Our first song this morning is going to be "Hold to God's Unchanging Hand," number 463. You know, right at the outset of this song, time is filled with swift transition. Obviously, here we are. We're transitioning. We're going to feel it, I think, this week as the weather's transitioning from being real warm here maybe yesterday to getting cool. The people that like to hunt, this is going to be their time to shine, right? It's going to be really cool. But it's a swift transition. It just seems like we go season to season real quick. So we need to be careful, because times and seasons change, but God does not change. There is not a season where we rest from doing work from the Lord. So we always need to be, in every season and every time that we have, holding on to God's unchanging hand, because he doesn't change, even though times change and seasons change. But we can have faith and trust in God that he is not going to change. His word will endure forever. So we're actually going to sing all three verses and then the chorus once at the end. "Hold to God's Unchanging Hand." Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth the moon can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God.
unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever ears may bring, if my earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. God's unchanging hand. Hold His hand to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Amen. So our next song is going to be How Long Has It Been? And I think... Again, when we think about making the best use of our time and being wise with our time, because our time is not infinite. We have just a finite amount of time here in this world, and we need to make the most of it. And I think a lot of times we really think about what we're doing and what we need to be doing. Sometimes we can think about how long has it been. This song really talks about how long has it been since you've talked to the Lord, gone to God in prayer. But there's a lot of things that we can really, I think, look back and investigate how we use our time. And, maybe we need to pray more. Maybe we need to look at some of the mistakes that we've made, some wrongs that we've made, and try to make those right. Maybe somebody that has wronged us, and we're a little slow to forgive them. Sometimes that's hard to do, and we need to be looking to forgive those that we need to be forgiving or love more than we are right now. So there's always things that we need to look at in our life and think, you know, how long has it been since I've done that? How long has it been since I've really studied something or talked to somebody or gone to God in prayer? So all these things that we need to think about as we make the most of our time. So we're going to sing all two verses of How Long Has It Been?
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone? Since your mind felt at ease, how long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you? Since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven, how long since you knew that He'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? Since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day's worth the living, can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you?
Song before Brother Bobby's lesson this morning is going to be the song, It Won't Be Very Long. And again, we think about time and making the best use of our time. Time moves fast. It can get away from us. We need to make the best use of it because it's really not going to be very long. We're not guaranteed the next minute, the next day, the next year. So we always need to be thinking about, you know what? We don't have infinite time. It's not going to be very long till this short life shall end. We're going to see Jesus very soon, and we just need to make the best use of our time because we don't know. It's not going to be very long. So we are going to sing the first and the third verse. If it won't be very long, then Brother Bobby will have our lesson this morning.
It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall be sent. And then the dead in Christ from beds of clay shall rise to meet the Lord and King of yonder in the skies. It won't be very long, it won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom throng? Get ready for that day. It won't be very long. It won't be very long till earth shall pass away. It won't be very long till works of men decay. But Jesus has prepared a happy dwelling place for all who look above and trust his matchless grace. It won't be very long, it won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom throng? Get ready for that day.
Service over to Brother Bobby.
Good morning.
Morning.
What a beautiful day that the Lord has provided for us that we can come together and worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's a wonderful privilege that we have to do that today, and we're thankful for each one of you that are here and those who are tuned in by means of electronics to where you can be with us in your home. We're glad that you're with us, and hopefully as we study together today, all of us can be encouraged to do what God would have us to do and be more anxious to serve Him better in the future than we have in the past. Like Tim said, time gets away from us. It seems like only yesterday when I was a child, and here I am now an old man that can't hardly get around, so it don't take long. You turn around twice and here you are. Life is almost gone. If you'd like to be turning in your Bible, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 18 this morning. And I'll start reading with verse 21. Actually, the lesson starts in verse 23, but we need to go back to verse 21 to explain why Jesus spoke this parable. In the English language, there's probably not a more beautiful or more comforting word than the word forgiveness. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. This is the last lesson in this series of challenges that we meet walking on the narrow way, trying to find eternal life. Now, if you go back to the dictionary, to Webster's dictionary, and look up the word forgive, it means to give up resentment against or desire to punish, stop being angry with, to pardon, to cancel or remit. Now that's the definition that Webster gives. Now if you look up the word forgiveness, then it says a forgiving or being forgiven, pardon or inclination to forgive or pardon. So the idea that we have the idea or the inclination to forgive, that we're willing, we have a forgiving spirit and we're willing to forgive those who sin against us, even as God is willing to forgive us. So one of the most beautiful words then to us in the English language would be the idea of forgiveness. We know that the Bible shows that all of us sin and come short of the glory of God. And for us to have forgiveness, what a beautiful thought, what a comforting idea that we have from God's word that He gives unto us. Without forgiveness, we would be hopeless. We'd be lost and left to drown in our sins. And I think we'll see that more and more from the lesson that we're studying today. But God loved us enough that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for us so that we might have those sins forgiven, that we might have that forgiveness that we're going to be talking about today from God's Word. Just as God forgives us as we repent, we must also be willing to forgive those who sin against us when they repent. Now, often we find ourselves wanting God's forgiveness, and we expect Him to forgive us when we sin, but we don't want to in turn forgive those who sin against us. And let us learn from the parable that Jesus spoke of the unforgiving servant that is spoken there in Matthew chapter 18. I'm going back, as I said, to verse 21, because verses 21 and 22 explains why Jesus spoke this parable to His disciples. Now read with me, and we'll read the beginning with verse 21 down through the rest of the chapter. I'm reading from the New King James translation of the Bible. Then Peter came to Him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" But Jesus said, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Therefore, now He starts to teach this parable to them because of the question that Peter asked. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. And when he had begun to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and said, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So he fell down, this servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came to and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, and just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due unto him. And Jesus said, So my heavenly Father also will do to you, each of you, if you do not from the heart forgive your brother his trespasses." So here's the lesson that we're talking about, and the parable that Jesus spoke concerning the forgiveness of sins and how that we ought to forgive others as God forgives us. Now I'm going to go back and analyze this with you, and we're going to talk about this and notice some implications from this parable that Jesus gave that applies to you and me today. He said the kingdom of heaven is likened to a king taking account of his servant. So the church, the kingdom of God, the church is like this kingdom, or like this king taking account of his servant. Now, the king represents God in this parable, and the servant represents us. And so the servant then that owed this great debt would be us. In this particular time in history, as we're talking about, when a person owed a debt and he could not pay, then he and his family, all that he had, would be sold and payment would be made. And you notice that was stressed in this, that the king commanded that he be sold and his family. But he fell down before him and began to beg him, and he had compassion with him, as we'll get into that part in just a moment. But in this particular time then, to pay your debt, they would put you in prison. And then if you could not pay the debt, then your whole family, everything that you had, you and all your family, would be sold. And what does that mean? Well, that means that you would not be a free person anymore, but you'd be sold into slavery. And you'd be somebody's servant, and you'd be doing whatever they did. So you'd lost your freedom because of the fact that you could not pay the debt and you were sold into slavery. You belonged to someone else. Now, this man owed a tremendous debt. There's been a lot of different speculation as to what it was, and I'm going to give you a few of these as we get into our lesson this morning. 10,000 talents is an enormous amount. Now, one denarii was the common wage for a laborer at that particular time. One denarii, but one talent was worth 6,000 denarii. So one talent would have been worth some 60,000 denarii, and a denarii was a normal wage for a laborer at that particular time. It is estimated in today's current prices of silver, if this was talents of silver, 10,000 talents of silver, that this man would have owed $186,976,400. That's what the debt would have been if it was talents of silver. Now, I don't know whether it was talents of silver or whether it was talents of gold. Both of them are mentioned back in that time. Now, if it was talents of gold, then it would have been $11 billion, with a B, $864,584,000. Now, that's enormous debt that this person owed. How in the world would a person get to the point where they owed that much money? Well, that is what it's showing here. And I think Jesus showed this because he was showing that this was just an outrageous debt, something that this man could not pay at all. And so he came before this king, the one that he was responsible to. And so he began to beg him and fell down before him and said, have patience with me. Of course, that servant had no way to pay this huge debt, but he asked for more time in order that he might pay that debt. Now, according to the wages paid then, it would have taken him 170,000 years to have paid this debt. 170,000 years. So he told the man, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. How in the world would he do that? And the king knew that he wasn't able to pay this huge debt that he was talking about. But to pay the 10,000 talents of silver, it would have taken him 170,000 years to pay that much money back. Now, how does this compare with us today? And what is the lesson that's involved in this? Our sin that we do, or sins that we have, are such as there is no way that we can pay this debt. We're like this servant that owed the huge debt. And here's the sins that are there. There's no way that we can pay the debt for those sins. We know that is true. Man cannot pay his own debts. Jesus paid the price for us as he died on the cross. The king forgave him all this debt. Now, there's some of the virgins say he just marked it off. This was the debt. He forgave it. He forgave the debt. It's just like the man didn't owe him anything anymore. Now, that's a lot of mercy and a lot of forgiveness and a lot of love that was there. God will forgive us our sins when we repent and pray to him for forgiveness. Now, our debts we cannot pay. We're just like that servant that owed this enormous amount. Our sins, there's no way that we can pay the debt for our sins ourselves. And so we're like that servant. But when we pray to God, when we repent of our sins and pray to God, then he will forgive us. He will mark all that off. He will wipe our slate clean. It's just like we never sinned before. When God forgives us, they're forgiven and they're forgotten. So God will forgive us if we repent. If we ask him to forgive us of our sins, if we repent and pray to him, then that forgiveness is there. Like the servant had to give an account to the king for his debt, then we must stand also and answer to the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." So just like this servant had to give an account for the debt that he owed, then we have to stand before the Lord and we have to give an account for the way that we have used our time and our talents that he has given us as to whether we've done it in the right way or not. Our debt of sin is not possible for us to pay. Just like it was not possible for this servant to pay back the enormous debt that he owed. We are as helpless as that servant was. We know that for him, that enormous amount, no way that he could have paid that amount back. We are helpless on our own as we stand before the Lord. But in Mark chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, and also in Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 through 25, we note that God has given us a way in which we can pay this debt. And so notice now in Matthew, we'll read from Matthew chapter 19 since we're right here close by. Matthew chapter 19, go down to about verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say unto you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Then when the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" Now you go back, this was right after the rich young ruler had come to Jesus and asked him what he could do in order to have eternal life. And Jesus told him to keep the commandments. He said he had kept these from his youth up. Jesus said, "There's one other thing that you lack. Go sell what you have and give to the poor. And then come and follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven." But this young man went away sorrowful. And it was after this that Jesus said it was hard for a rich man to enter into eternal life. It was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now they were astonished then, and they said, "But who then can be saved?" Verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So it's impossible for us to pay our debt of sin, but with God all things are possible. And so God can forgive us of those sins, and he made a way in which those sins could be forgiven. And so we must forgive those who sin against us, though, if we want to be forgiven by God. And so this is a two-way street. We want forgiveness, but we must be willing to give forgiveness. And this is hard to do sometimes. This servant ought to have forgiven that one who had sinned against him, as we'll get into a little bit later into our lesson. This servant that we're talking about, out of desperation, when the man said that he would be cast into prison, the king said to cast him into prison and let his family be sold and all this, out of desperation, he fell down at his feet before the king and pleaded with him. Now this, some versions say that he fell down and worshipped him, and he may have literally worshipped this king, because some kings did demand to be worshipped. But he was felt prostrate before the king, showing that he was humble, that he knew that there was nothing that he could do in order to get rid of this, not at this particular time. But he begged the king to have mercy on him, to give him a little more time that he might pay this debt. And the king did more than that. He not only gave him more time, but he forgave him this debt. In other words, marked it off of the book. He no longer owed this. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 27, we find that the king was moved with compassion. Now, what does that mean? Well, the king felt a deep pain, a deep sorrow for the suffering of this servant. So he felt for him. Not only did he show great patience with this servant, but he forgave him this enormous debt that he owed. Now, this represents the great love and mercy that God has for us. You know, God is he's not required to forgive us of our sins, but God will forgive us, and he shows that he will, and he has great mercy on us and great love for us. This represents the great love and mercy that God has for us. He has provided us a way to have our debt of sin, this great debt of sin, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, if you want to turn in your Bible, turn over to 1 John chapter 4. And in 1 John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading about verse 8 and read down through about verse 11 or 12. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sin, as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. And then he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so here, God is love, and we must show that love in order to be pleasing unto God in the way that we should. And so God has provided a way that these sins, that this debt of sin, can be forgiven. Peter also spoke of this and spoke about God's patience and his love toward us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so God wants us to repent. He wants us to be saved. He does not want us to be lost. It's not the will of God that any should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. God will forgive and forget our debt of sin, just as the king did this servant when he forgave him. He sent him away, and he was free from his debt, free from the obligation that he had. Now, since God has forgiven us when we repent, we should show the same forgiveness to others when they repent. Notice what this servant did, though. Down in verse 28 and 29 and 30, along and through there. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begging him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not, and went and had him put into prison until he could pay the whole debt. Now, let's talk about this for a little bit. This man went out and found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. Now, there's a lot of difference in this debt that this man owed and what the servant owed, the one that owed the enormous debt. Sometimes we forget the forgiveness that we have received from God, and we do not extend the forgiveness to others who sin against us. And you remember what Peter asked Jesus in the very beginning, how often shall I forgive my brother? Up until 7 times. But Jesus said, I say not until 7, but until 70 times 7. He's not saying you to forgive your brother 490 times, and then the 491st, you don't have to forgive him. That's not what he was saying. But it shows that there is no limit to our forgiveness. When Jesus sent out his disciples on the limited commission in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, he said to them, freely you have received, freely give. And so this is what we're to do. We're to give forgiveness as we, as people repent and ask us to forgive them. The servant did not do this, but found a servant that owed him 100 denarii. I know there's a difference as to how much this is. Some say it was $300 in our money. Others say it was $3,000. Some in between. Barnes' note says it was $1,600 is what this debt was in our money. But at any rate, it was just a small amount to the side of what this servant owed. But he would not forgive his servant when he fell down at his feet and asked him forgiveness like he had asked the king for forgiveness. The servant did not have the money to pay, and he fell down at his feet and begged him, just like he had begged the king, to give him time. But he did not, went and threw him in prison instead of forgiving him as he had been forgiven. The fellow servant understood, his fellow servants understood, that he should have forgiven this servant just like he had been forgiven by the king. But he did not, and so they were grieved that he didn't have the same compassion with the servant that fell down before him that the king had had with him. So they brought the matter before the king and told the king what all had happened. And when the king heard this, he was furious, and he had this man brought before him again. Now, even though this man had already been released, when he heard other details, he brought him back again that he might reckon with him again. Now, since the man was not willing to show compassion to his fellow servant when he begged for mercy, as the king had gave mercy unto this man when he begged, then the king sent him to the torturers until his debt was paid. And what is this talking about? It's talking about the torturers. If I understand, back at this particular time, whenever a person owed a debt like that he might have some assets that was concealed that was not known by the public that he had. And so they would send and put him into prison and turn him over to the torturers, and they would torture him until he told them about the other assets that he had so that these could be used to pay the debt that he had. Now, I don't know if that's the case with this or not, but it sounds reasonable to me. It said he turned him over to the torturers until he could pay the whole debt. Now, the torturers would represent hell, because this was where he would be, punished and so forth, and he'd be there forever because there's no way he could pay his debt. So this would be like hell to us. If we fail to be forgiven of our sins, that great debt of sin, then that's where we'll have to spend eternity, is in that place of torment. Now, since the servant was not willing to forgive as he was forgiven, he would be in torment then forever because he was not able to pay this great debt that he owed. Now, what's Jesus' point in this whole thing? Well, the point that Jesus is making is simply this. If we're not willing to forgive others when they repent against us, then God will not be willing to forgive us either. And if we're not forgiven, then we're in bad shape, because we're going to spend eternity in that place that we don't want to be, in the place that's known as hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, as Christians, then, we must learn to forgive people, or it can cost us our soul. If I don't forgive, if I'm not willing to forgive my brother who sins against me, then God is not willing to forgive me, and it will cost me my soul in the day of judgment. Peter asked Jesus, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Matthew chapter 18, 21 and 22. And notice Jesus' answer. Jesus said not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, let's go back and talk about this for just a little bit. Peter thought he was being generous when he said, "Shall I forgive my brother seven times?" The Jewish rabbis back at this particular time had agreed that you were to forgive a person three times. But after three times, you did not have to forgive him anymore. So with that in mind, Peter said, "Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother, or how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Well, this was more than double what the Jewish rabbis had said. But Jesus added more. He said, "I say to you, not till seven times, but 70 times seven." In other words, there's no limit to how many times that you're to forgive a brother who may sin and repent and ask you to forgive him of his sin. And I say again that this is one of the most beautiful words in the English language, the word forgiveness. It's one of the most comforting words in the English language, because here God has shown that you and I, when we sin, have a way out. We have a way to have those sins forgiven. We don't have to drown in those sins. We don't have to worry about those sins. We can have them done away with. Just like the king was willing to forgive and to mark off that whole debt from the servant there, God is willing to forgive us when we repent of our sins. When we do what he asks us to do, then we have forgiveness, and we're part of his family, and heaven can be ours, and that's what we're all looking for. If you were not looking for heaven, you wouldn't be here today. And that's one of our goals, is to serve God in the way that would please him, and to go to heaven when we die and to take all with us that we can. That's our goal. That should be our goal every day, to try to serve God right and be an example that will lead others unto him. Now, if you're here today and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we're here to help you to do that very thing. If you need to be baptized, we'll baptize you into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're already a Christian, but you haven't lived in the way that you should, and there's error that's been in your way, maybe you haven't forgiven people like you should or whatever, if there's some mistake that you've made that you're sorry of, you know that it's not right, and you want to make that right, then we're here to help you to do that also. If you need to obey, come while we stand and as we sing together.
If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if his care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, will you not tell? Tell it today. nation they never have heard. Oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? Oh, will you not tell them?
I've really enjoyed all these lessons with all the things that can be an obstacle to us on walking that path, walking that way. So I think it's always good things to keep in mind, and I really appreciate these lessons, Bobby. So thank you very much. We're going to take this time in our worship service this morning to prepare our minds, partake of the Lord's Supper. To help us do that, we're going to sing the song In Remembrance. It's number 163, In Remembrance. We're going to sing all four verses of this song, then sing the chorus once at the end.
Let's sing. On this Lord's Day we assemble round the table of the Lord. Happy hearts are made to tremble when we hear His blessed word. We recall His broken body as we look upon the bread. Give ye thanks, divide and eat it in my memory, he said. Then this crimson cup reminds us of that dread scene long ago, when he died in pain and anguish. There his blood was made to flow. On the cross for you and me. Now upon the throne he's reigning, blessed Lamb of Calvary. Thanks to God for such a Savior, now enthroned in heaven above. Thanks for this exalted favor, blessed memorial of His love. Amen.
Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Last week at the beginning of chapter 6, we talked about where Paul explained we cannot continue to live under sin's control, under the power of sin, because baptism symbolized our death to the old life and raising up to a new life serving God. Paul is telling us that we were slaves to sin. We were under its might. We were under its power. We were under its vices. We were under its control. Sin enslaved us. But through the death of Jesus, he's giving us a new life. When we die with Jesus, we are set free from the power of sin over us, and Paul wants Christians to find hope in that. We can overcome sin by living a Christ-like life. We can be set free from sin. We can no longer be enslaved to it. Paul encourages us to fight the impulse to let sin be in charge of our life. Don't let sin run your body. Fight against it. If we allow sin to reign, then we will return to the slavery of sin. Breaking out of that slavery is very difficult, but possible through the power of Jesus. Death no longer has dominion over Christ. With this death on the cross, he overcame death and he freed us. Before Jesus came, the law showed us sin, made us its slave, and gave us no hope for release. Jesus has come, and now we are under grace, meaning that we can all be set free from the law. Jesus has redeemed us. Jesus gives us hope. Jesus makes it possible for us to leave sin's power and come under God's power. Tim, you pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for the day that we have to come and worship you. Father, we're thankful for your word and all the strength and comfort and guidance it gives to us. Father, we're thankful for this time we have to gather around the table this morning to remember the sacrifice that Jesus had. Father, as we partake of this bread, let those who are Christians remember the death that Jesus had on the cross for us. Remember that this bread represents his broken body. Remembering the love that he had for us, going to that. Remembering the power that you showed in overcoming death. Father, we're so very thankful for this bread. We ask you to bless it for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we again come to you in prayer, asking you to help us to have our minds set on the blood that was shed on the cross for us, dear Lord, that precious blood that meant so much, that helped redeem us, that we can have that hope of eternal life with you in heaven. Help us to focus on that blood as we partake of this fruit of the vine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did we accidentally overlook anyone? Okay, glad to see everyone. Glad everyone has come out with us this morning to worship. I want us to thank Bobby and myself for the series of lessons that he does. You know, it's one of my takeaways is anytime somebody does a series, usually it's over one set of verses, and you got, what, 14 lessons out of just a small set of verses. So it just shows the power that's in God's Word and all that we can glean from it. So let us always not only look to that for strength and encouragement, but also for education. I mean, we should never stop learning and never stop reading the Word because there's so many lessons and so many applications that we can use in our everyday lives. By way of reminder, for those that want to leave a contribution, you can do so on your way out on the box on the right. And again, thank you for getting rid of your little cups and your little bags of bread. Tim?
Again, thank you all for being here this morning. It's truly been a blessed day that we could be here and worship God. To close out here this morning, we're going to sing the song, Jesus is Coming Soon. And I know this song kind of goes along with what I was doing with my other songs, and the song, it won't be very long. It's kind of similar to that, but this song is kind of cool when you think about the two verses. You know, the first verse, you know, troublesome times are here. And again, they are. There's stuff we all have to deal with. You know, health things aside, there's just things we have to deal with all through our life. But the second verse, troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore. So, you know, there's two sides of that coin. Don't get bogged down and let your time be spent worrying about all the bad stuff that's going on. Realize that we spend our time wisely and spend our time serving the Lord. There's going to be the other side of that where our troubles will soon be o'er. And we'll be able to live with God in heaven forever. So I like this song. We think about not always dwelling on the negative things that we can always dwell on. Just realize that there is a hope of eternal life with God in heaven. So we're going to sing both verses, of course, of this song, and then we'll have our closing prayer. Brother Dale, would you lead us in the closing prayer, please? Thank you. All right. Let's sing.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humble your heart to God, save from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims draw Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet there. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous feet in the skies. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er. Happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore. Free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet there too. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound.
Amen. Brother Dale.
Our Father, as we come before you this morning, we give thanks for this time that we've had to be together. We give thanks, Father, for your Son who died for us, through whom we have this hope of life eternal with you in that time. Father, we consider the time that we are in now. We pray, Father, that the things we do each day, the time that we have each day that we have been blessed with, that we are using it to your glory and your will. Pray, Father, for those who are unable to be with us this morning. We pray for our sister Diane and for Jesse and Melissa, we pray for others who have fallen ill. We pray for those who are whose spirit is weakening. Pray that you would be with them. Continue to be with our brother Jim as he is away from home. Pray that he may regain the strength, that he may come home again soon. Watch over us as we go out this day. Be with us until we meet again, whether in this life or the next. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.